Space Cowboy Books presents Simultaneous Times Supplementary Log. Interviews with the authors and musicians that make Simultaneous Times podcast possible. You've heard the stories and the music. Now hear the stories behind the stories.
Welcome to Simultaneous Times Supplementary Log, Episode 1. In this episode, you'll hear an interview with Red Blue Black Silver. Red Blue Black Silver is a musician and composer from Joshua Tree, California, who specializes in film music, radio and podcast soundscapes, and improvisational live performance. His combination of futuristic synthesizer music with traditional instruments and composing techniques used in classical music give his work a distinctive sound and the ability to span genres. Recent credits include creating film music for Hunt for the Skinwalker and Bob Lazar, Area 51 and Flying Saucers by Jeremy Kenyon Lokier Corbell, soundscapes for Desert Oracle Radio and Simultaneous Times, and numerous albums ranging from ambient music to pulsating electronica. What was your first experience with science fiction music, and what inspired you to first create work in the genre?
The answer to both is the original Tron from about 1981. I was around 8 or 9 when I saw that film, and seeing it in the theater, of course, you're going to hear the music through the big speakers, and that really had a huge effect on me, particularly something that you can hear a lot in my music, which is heavy use of panning from left to right, synthesized strings, and the things that bridge the classical world and the synthesized sound world. And that's what really made a difference to me. And even though I was playing in normal musical settings like in elementary school and starting around fourth grade, I always had my mind on the synthesizer after that.
And aside from Wendy Carlos and the Tron soundtrack, what is some of your favorite science fiction music, books, or film?
So for music, I like the overlap between jazz and funk in science fiction that started really with Sun Ra in the 1960s and went all the way into the George Clinton bands like Parliament and Funkadelic and Parliament Funkadelic that went through the 70s and then into the early 80s. And they took science fiction themes and made it relevant to what was happening on Earth with civil rights. And that the idea was that black presence in science fiction was itself a rebellious idea, because in a future situation that included them, that means that they were able to beat out all of the forces that were against them and trying to exclude them from the world. So it made a huge statement on things of an earthly nature as well, and that's why it always felt really relevant to me. In terms of books, I would say Dune by Frank Herbert was a big one, because it went deep into a lot of descriptions of sounds that made me think about how I would make those in real life.
Do you think with the jazz funk bands and Sun Ra and Parliament, etc., do you think that they were influenced by black science fiction writers like Samuel Delaney, for instance, or do you think it was more of the concept of the other in science fiction that drew them to the genre?
I'm not an expert, but I think it was probably a combination of the two. I even remember reading that Sun Ra watched Star Trek and was really influenced by it. And I just think that it challenged people's ideas of the way that a society can be organized and the principles by which power is wielded. And that's what made it interesting to me, that even though they were talking about science fiction themes, they were heavily allegorical of real phenomena that were happening then.
So you mentioned the sound elements in Dune, but outside of that, how has science fiction literature informed or influenced your music?
Dune does it particularly well, but a lot of the science fiction that a lot of other people don't like reading because they go into a lot of really long descriptive passages are exactly the kind that I do enjoy reading, because the author might be talking about how exactly an engine sounds when it's whirring, or what a device sounds like when it's working. And it might not really be a crucial element in moving the plot forward. It might not be what people are looking for in literature, but that's what I always pay attention to and make a mental note of that and decide on how I would try to represent that sonically. So even when I read fiction these days, since I've been working on the podcast, or when I hear the initial recording of the story, sometimes I hear some descriptions of sounds and I'll try to model that. Mostly I'm trying to model an overall environment, but anytime that I'm reading science fiction, especially any of the wordier authors, I get sometimes more out of that than some of other people who are just reading it for its own sake.
So far, you've made music for a lot of the stories in Simultaneous Times. Which was your favorite story to work with and why?
I think my favorite was Schadenfreude by Brent Harris. It was great because it spanned multiple periods of time, so I got to make some music that sounded like it could have been made in the 30s or 40s, the 1930s or 40s, but also to use some of the usual ways that I reinforce an otherworldly or spacey kind of sound at the same time. So I got to follow the story and make it sonically different from minute to minute. And I also liked your story, Fucking Like Animals, which allowed me to make completely different music than I've ever made for any podcast or radio, which wound up sounding sort of like a greasier version of science fiction music. But it that was a lot of fun to make something that maybe could have been on the radio at some point, or you know, the backing track for an R&B artist or something like that, but still make it fit the story and the fact that that was sort of an earthly science fiction story made me want to make music that fit it.
What are your feelings on the marriage of literature and music, and what do you see as the future for these two mediums interacting?
I think that the audiobook is going to be an important offshoot of podcasting. So I think that there's a lot of good science fiction that is being made right now with good backing music. And it seems like there are more and more of them every year, and that's fantastic. But I also don't want to leave behind the phenomenon of the audiobook, which was something that I think in a way peaked in the 1980s in terms of their availability, but not in their artistry. And I think that there's a lot more to be done in terms of audiobooks that are well recorded the way that they typically are, but have tailored music that follows the narrative. Sometimes when there is music in an audiobook, it is new agey theme music in the background that's meant to maybe convey some kind of emotion, but it doesn't follow the narrative, and that's hardly ever done. And that's what we do with the podcast, and I know some of the other musicians do it as well, of trying to listen to the story really carefully. And I know when I go through it, I mark down specific moments, intervals of time where a certain mood is taking place, but then also how many minutes and seconds into it does something happen, and what sound can I make out of it. And I think that that really helps the audience be taken out of the distractions of mundane life and into the other world that the author is trying to take you to.
Why do you think it is that the audiobook is rarely treated as an album and have that kind of care go into it, where the music is really to enhance the reading and be inclusive of the mood that the reading is trying to evoke?
I think it's that the musicians and the creators of the audiobooks aren't talking to each other. I don't see a lot of audiobook producers going out and soliciting music from people that'd be more than willing to give it and to make it a priority. But I also see the musicians that want to develop their audience is being really passive and complaining about online about how they don't have enough ways to get their music out there and that the standard music industry isn't making what it used to and it's divided by more people than ever. That's fine, but so many people pay for entertainment, you just have to look a little bit more on the outside of what music could be used for. And that's why I like radio work so much and podcast work and film work. And I think the audiobook, which is sort of resembling the modern podcast, but delivered all at once, where someone can really sit down and go through it and not have this story teased to you a half hour at a time. I like the format of Simultaneous Times because the stories are included in the episode and you get the entire arc in one episode of the story. I'm also a fan of the audiobook delivery, and it seems like most of what's being produced in terms of science fiction with music behind it tends to be in the serial format, which is for a lot of people, but I think that there's more than that out there.
And how do you think science fiction literature has affected the direction of music, popular and otherwise?
I think a lot of it has to do with the development and popularization of synthesizers in the 1960s. When synthesizers started to be used in music and in commercials and on television, it was seen as an illegitimate form of music that was putting classically trained Juilliard alumni out of business because the studios could quickly make something on a synthesizer that sounded like an orchestra for a lot less money. And you could work a studio 24 hours a day with fewer people rather than arranging large sessions. And science fiction was really important in that because I don't really think that they thought of the synthesizer as illegitimate because they started to adopt it right away in BBC productions, not just in the United States. And you see science fiction embracing the synthesizer before really any other genre did, followed closely by horror, and then everyone else got into it. But science fiction really, I think, used the synthesizer as a way to pull people out of only being confined to classical instruments, things made out of wood, steel, etc., that vibrate in the traditional way and start to use oscillators.
And in the 60s, science fiction was also viewed as a sub-literate genre. If the synthesizer was viewed as a sub-musical instrument at that time, do you think that has anything to do with science fiction's embracing of the synthesizer?
I think so, because I really think that in both groups of people, there were a lot of mavericks that didn't care how it was normally done and wanted something that sounded really strange, and they wanted music that not only was setting an emotional mood in science fiction, but also sometimes that the music bled into sound design, which bled into sound effects, and it really became where it wasn't really a distinct set of characteristics of the sound of a film. There were very identifiable sounds of objects like the door in Star Trek that a lot of science fiction people could just can hear in their heads what the door in Star Trek sounds like. That, I think, had a lot to do with science fiction needing the synthesizer and the synthesizer needing science fiction as well to be taken seriously at all by anyone at the time.
Tell us a little bit about your work outside of Simultaneous Times podcast and some interesting upcoming projects.
The main project I've been working on isn't exactly science fiction, but it is definitely science related, and it goes into a lot of what the idea is of what is a fact and what is truth. It's the story of Bob Lazar, and this is an upcoming film that I've created the score and soundtrack for, and it's a film by Jeremy Kenyon Lockyer Corbell, who made Hunt for the Skinwalker. That I also made the music for that film in Patient 17, which everyone can see on Netflix now. He's an investigative filmmaker, and he made a film about Bob Lazar, who is the person who told the entire world about Area 51 and the government-run alien UFO programs there that we are, if you believe Bob's story, we're all paying for through our federal taxes. Some things that I believe, although you couldn't call it science fiction because it's a documentary, I think that Bob's story, when it came out in the late 80s, inspired a lot of the science fiction that's come out since then, because it got people thinking about what was really possible, that there's a real government program, it's really in Nevada, and he's been telling us about it for 30 years, and those of us who listen and believe Bob's story based on the fact that he's told so many things that have turned out to be true that no one else would know about, except for someone that worked on those things. He is vindicated a little bit more every year because a little bit more comes out and people get a little bit more acclimated to the idea of the fact that we're not the only intelligent life out there. But working on that, I use all of the same skills and techniques that I would for a science fiction movie because I still want it to sound otherworldly and dramatic, and I use a lot of the same techniques that I would for a science fiction score. The same thing, the strings that I started to love from Tron, and I'm still making those things today. Sometimes I play a real cello and make it sound like a synthesizer. Sometimes I make a synthesized cello, try to sound as realistic as I can, and sometimes I will do neither and just make it sound like a big bass drone. But those are really important sounds to me, and I always like in my music to be a little bit of a bridge between classical instruments and classical technique and writing and synthesize modern music.
You just heard Simultaneous Times Supplementary Log, an interview with Red Blue Black Silver with music by Red Blue Black Silver. Learn more at redblueblacksilver.com. Simultaneous Times is a monthly science fiction podcast going live on the 15th of each month. And now, Simultaneous Times Supplementary Log, interviews with the authors and musicians of the podcast, going live on the first of every month. Theme music by Dane Luscombe. Be sure to visit us at our bookstore in Joshua Tree, California, or at spacecowboybooks.com. And out now, Simultaneous Times Volume 1 Paperback Science Fiction Anthology, available on our website and on Lulu. Get in touch on Instagram and Twitter. We'd love to hear what you think of the show.